This is the shiur for Parshat Noach, but we will not so much be focusing on Parshat Noach in and of itself. We are going to be looking at a larger theme. The theme that we are going to be examining is the pattern the Torah uses in the entire Sefer Bereishis, where we see the Torah constantly returning to long genealogical lists of generations of people's descendants. The Torah constantly comes back after every episode of a particular event in a person's life or in a generation's life, comes back to one of those lists. The lists always begin with Ele Toldot or Ve'ele Toldot. The lists begin with Ela Toldot, these are the generations of, and they continue for a very long time, some shorter, some longer, until the list stops and we focus on a particular person or a particular event, and then the Torah returns to the list. Our basic question is, what is the pattern that the Torah is developing? What is the purpose of all of these lists, besides for giving us some type of, for the historians among us to catalog the different peoples and nations of the world and how they evolved? There's so many names in these lists, we know nothing of them. They have no impact on Jewish life, on Jewish history. They've come and they've gone. Essentially, they're meaningless to us, and yet they take up a huge amount of space in the Torah. So what are they for? That's our basic question. But in order to answer that question, we begin with a completely different question and a basic fundamental question about Jewish philosophy, basic Jewish belief. Everybody has learned the Medrash on the first word in the Torah, Bereshit, Bara Elokim et Hashamayim et Haaretz, in the beginning. And the Medrash says that Hashem created the world Bereshit, Bishvil, on account of the Torah and Yisrael and fear of God, which is called Reshit, the beginning of God's produce. As if God planted a crop and the first things to ripen and be produced were Yisrael. They would hold on to the Torah, they would bear the Torah and serve Hashem. So Hashem created the world Bereshit Bishvil Yisrael on account of the Jewish people who are called Reshit, the beginning of his harvest, of his crop, so to speak, the beginning of what Hashem would reap for all his efforts. So we have learned many times, and no question about it, it's taught repeatedly in the schools to the children. It's repeated consistently, and often when you hear Torah teachings, that the world was created on account of the Jewish people, for the purpose of the Jewish people. If this is true, then the basic question we ask is, where are the Jewish people? They don't emerge on the scene for 2,500 years. And the whole world, as we know, not including Sheshet Yimei Bereshit, not including the 6 days of creation, is destined, according to some, to last for 6,000 years. 2,000 years, the Medrash says, were tohu, vavohu, chaotic, empty, darkness. That's the years before Avraham, where all of civilization was drowning in misconceptions, worshipping nature, worshipping images, sacrificing their children, so living according to the rule of the jungle, which is essentially survival of the fittest. There was a fatalism, huge fatalism at play, because when one worships nature, one is automatically a fatalist. If nature, if the gods want it this way, who am I to interfere? And fatalism is alive and well in the backwoods of India and other primitive countries where they still believe in these type of systems. They don't feed the hungry, they don't heal the sick. Who am I to interfere with the gods? It's a cruel world. It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's a survival-of-the-fittest world. And it's not the world we know, based on biblical values, where the strong restrain their strength in order to protect the weak, although they can take advantage of the weak if they wanted to, but they will withhold. That's the world we're used to, self-control and justice. But that isn't the paganistic world and the primitive world. And so this is the world of tohu vavohu, of chaos and darkness that Avram found himself in. And he set out to change it. 2,000 years of Torah, including the first and second Beit HaMikdash, and 2,000 years back into some sort of tohu vavohu and chaos called the Yemot HaMashiach. It's a difficult time. Hopefully we're at the end. The Jewish people do not emerge until the end of the first 2,000 years. And if we're the purpose of creation, that's strange. That's very strange. We wonder, how could a religion like Christianity claim to be true, or Islam, if it evolved 3,000 years after the world started, or 3,700 years after the world started? It can't be true. Well, it's the same question on us. We didn't start at the beginning. In fact, you know that in all of the first 2,000 years, up until really 2,448, Matan Torah, Yetziat Mitzrayim, not only did the Jews not evolve or emerge in those years, or in most of those years we were not present, but in those years Hashem himself never interfered in history by speaking to humanity and telling humanity what he wanted from them. So not only was there not a Jewish people bearing the torch of what God wants in this world, God himself did not communicate anything to the world. There was a Mabul. But a Mabul is not the same, Arif Parsha, the flood, but that is not the same as Hashem gathering humanity, as was done at Har Sinai, and telling people what he wanted. So how did it work? There was silence on the part of God in a certain way. And the world was descending into all kinds of aberrations in terms of their philosophical system. There always along the way was somebody in each generation who held on to the Mesorah leading back to Adam, to Noah, to the truth. There always was somebody. Those lists of people we find, they are the individuals who still held on to the Mesorah. But by and large, the generations were lost. And you have nothing, no Jews to lead the way, no God communicating. It's called Tohu Vavohu until we have Avraham. Notice two things. Number one, up until Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a yesod, a basic fundamental piece of knowledge you must know. Up until Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem never spoke to a Navi and told him to communicate any message to anyone else. If Hashem spoke to someone before Moshe, it was for their own benefit and for their own needs. They were never sent as a Navi to communicate a message to anyone else, which is why Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem said, go tell the Jewish people so-and-so, Moshe said, they're not going to believe me. Why should they believe me? There was no precedent. It never happened before that somebody conveyed a message from God. So Hashem didn't call anybody as his messenger. Any communication to the Avot and the Imahot was personal, totally personal, which is, by the way, a possible reason why, although Hashem told Rivka, okay, that she would have Yaakov and Esav, she might not have told Yitzchak. No one was a Navi for someone else's benefit. It was all for themselves. Possibility. That's number one. So what did Hashem want from the world? So we know a couple of things. We know that the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach did not originate with Noach. They originated with Adam, and they're called the Seven Mitzvot B'nai Noach because he added the seventh. There were six already in existence. And the seventh was Aver Menachai, but not to serve other gods, not to worship images, to believe in Hashem, to set up a court system, justice, not to kill, not to steal, not to commit adultery. This was all in place right from the beginning, the Rambam explains. It wasn't a free-for-all. So Hashem imposed certain basic expectations, but then never chose one person to be his messenger, never spoke to humanity, never called everybody together, and there was no full-scale nevuah. Tohu vavohu. Now the Medrash says in the beginning of Lech Lecha, that is the mashal of what Avraham's search was. Avraham's search was nimshal, it is compared to the following. Says that there was a person walking on the way, and he saw. Here it is. Here's the Medrash. Amar Rav Yitzchak. This is compared to Echad Shahaya Over Mimakom Lamakom. A person traveling from place to place, observing, watching, going here and there. Vara'a Bira Achat Doleket. And he sees a Bira, which is a big mansion, a palace, burning on fire. A beautiful building. And it's consumed in fire. Amar, he says, Shabira, Amar Tomar, Shabira Haita below Manhig. Is it possible that there's no person in charge of this house, this mansion, and it's just burning and nobody cares and nobody's putting out the fire and there's no balabayats here? And it's just burning. This mansion's on fire and nobody's coming and nobody's taking care of it. Heitzis Baal Habira Amar Lo Ani Baal Habira. So the Baal Habira Heitzis, he looks out through the window from upstairs, somehow from somewhere, and says, I'm the Baal Habira. That's the end of the Medrash. What does it mean? In other words, there's a house on fire, that's the world, complete confusion, chaos, immorality, cruelty, image worship, child sacrifice, and you go read about ancient paganism, you'll see more and more the rites and the rituals that they conducted. And he says, where's the Baal Habira? So the Baal Habira looks out and says, I'm here. Now what does that mean? So it could mean that the Baal Habira says, I see the chaos and I let it burn. But what it could mean, and this is my personal suggestion, so take it or leave it, is, and it seems to be true according to our historical pattern, how the Jews, how we see our mission and how it did evolve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked out at Avraham and said, I am the Baal Habira. Essentially, I know it's burning. I'm not going to put it out. You put it out. It's in your hands. You put out the fire, which is exactly what Avraham chose to do. Avraham was very similar to the many, many righteous Yarei Shemayim that lived before him, like Shem and Aver. But why were they not the beginning founders of the nation that would be the Jews? Because they knew about Hashem. They held fast to those ideas in their life. But they did not attempt to put the fire out in the world in general. They did not attempt to become Av Hamon Goyim, father of many nations. We know Avraham is the religious, spiritual father of the Muslims, clearly the Christians who accept all of the Old Testament, us, and even the Eastern religions. The pasuk is later on in Chayesara that Avraham gave matanot, presents, to his other children from the other wives after Sarah, and he sent them kedma el eretz kedem, eastward to the eastern lands. And Rashi says there, what matanot can he have possibly given them, being that the pasuk before says he gave everything he had to Yitzchak? So Rashi explains he gave them shame, tum'ah. Now the other mefarshim and Rashi explain that that doesn't mean he gave them the name of tum'ah. He would never do that. He gave them shame Hashem, which means true spiritual ideas that are based in emet, but permission to dabble in them and learn them and apply them in a state of tum'ah, which means without mitzvot, without tzchar, without onesh, without mitzvot, without a concept of Hashem. The ideas, but in a state of tumah. So you know that by the Eastern religions, if you achieve the greatest level of sainthood or righteousness, they call you Abrahamin. This comes from Avraham. So Avraham was different in that he took upon himself to put out the fire. And we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, waited and waited and waited and did not break into history to instruct, to punish, yes, but not to instruct, until somebody on their own arose who chose to do this and chose to convey it to their children and their grandchildren and build a nation who would then stand eventually at Har Sinai and agree to Hashem's offer to be Or Lagoyim. This perspective allows us to understand the whole series of lists in the Chumash, which begin with Eile Toldot. What is happening is the following, but we will look inside, you will find the pattern, and we'll notice some very specific details. The general pattern is that Eile Toldot is like a searchlight. The Torah is searching through the generations of man, looking to find someone somewhere who is going to be that individual, who is going to live up to the purpose of creation and bring the world to a recognition of Hashem. Once Adam, who was intended to do this, failed, we have to look further. We have to look in his children. If his children don't succeed, we look in the grandchildren, and we keep looking, and we keep looking and looking. So the Torah, every time the Torah starts with Eile Toldot, you know that it's a searchlight scanning through history, trying to find someone who is going to be, and these are the important words, any variation on the theme of these words, Kore B'Shem Hashem, call out in the name of Hashem. Once Adam couldn't do it, we're searching for someone else. Every time the Torah scans Eile Toldot, we start making listing, we stop. There's an incident where someone tries or could have or had the potential or might have been able to be Korei B'Shem Hashem, and then of course we're disappointed in that person or that episode, we go back into Eila Toldos, and we look again, we stop. There's another opportunity for someone to be Korei B'Shem Hashem. Again, it ends in failure. We go back. Eila Toldos. This goes through the entire Sefer Bereishis. All the way till the end. We will not only look for this pattern, but in every incident of where it says Eila Toldot, there is a pattern in the pattern. Toldot, when written male, has a vav in the beginning and a vav at the end. Tuf, vav, lamid, dalid, vav, tuf. Some of the Eila Toldot will be written with a totally male with two vavs. Some will be written chaser, missing either the first vav or the second vav. And you will also find an incident of there where there are no vavs at all. And we will see at the end, once we create this pattern, what that might be telling us. Okay? So our job now is to look in the Chumash and begin to scan through history to see how the Torah is searching and, so to speak, waiting to find somebody who's going to be Korei B'Shem Hashem. So if you open up your Chumashim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalid, which is on page 10. This is the first incident of Eila Toldot, and the words are Eila Toldot Hashamayim Vehaaretz Vehi Baram Bayom Asot Hashem Elokim Eretz Veshamayim. These are the generations of Shamayim and Aretz. First of all, obviously, Adam, whose creation is now described, is a tolda of Shamayim and Aretz. You know he has no parents. Adam and Isha and Isha really have no parents. They are really the offspring of Ruchni and Gashmi, Shamayim and Aretz. And they are meant to, and this was the plan, they were meant to express in a physical way, through physical actions, through person, people, places, and things, which is essentially what the Torah is about, people, places, and things. Okay, the Torah does not go into long essays of things of supernatural nature. Even Olam Haba is not directly mentioned. It's about people and places and things, and they were supposed to use their physical apparatus and opportunities here in this world to express all that is true in the Olam HaRuchni. They are truly the Tolda of Shamayim and Aretz. And how is Toldot written? Male. A vav in the beginning and a vav at the end. Okay? So we go here into the story of the creation of man. Perhaps this is where we will end. This man will live and will do exactly what he's expected to do and bring the Ruchnius and the Gashmius together. And they will live in harmony, and we'll end the Chumash right here. But of course, we hear about the creation of man, and directly after that, we hear in Perek Gimel about the Chet. And so we then hear about Adam's, after the Chet, is banishment. Perhaps there's somebody in his children. We haven't yet started the next Eila Toldot list, but we learn about Adam's children because, although he was banished from Gan Eden, he wasn't completely disconnected to his purpose. He could still have continued to live up to the expectations of Hashem out of Gan Eden. So we hear about his children. But of course, we know the story of Cain and Hevel. And if you look now in Pasuk Tes Zayin, which is on the bottom of page 20, we begin to see that we are not going to have much luck with Cain and Hevel because Hevel is dead. And regarding Cain, the Torah says, "Vayetze Cain milifnei Hashem, vayeshev be'eretz Nod kidmat Eden." And he not only left the area, Cain left milifnei Hashem. He walked, went away. He turned about face from before Hashem. And then we begin to hear about Cain's children, starting in Pasuk Yud Zayin. And we come all the way to the end of Yud Zayin until we come to the last Pasuk, Pasuk Chavav. Okay? Cain has a grandchild. And his name is, I'm sorry. Cain, we hear about Cain's children. They only take a few psukim, actually. He had a child, Chanoch. He called it, is the name of the city, Chanoch. Chanoch had some children. You hear about Lemech. And then you hear that Adam had another child after that named Shait in Pasuk Chaf Hei. And Shait had a child, and his name was Enosh. So Cain's children we've just listed. We haven't heard anything spectacular about them, but we do have a child of Shait, the next son of Adam and Chava, called Enosh. Regarding Enosh, the Torah says, Enosh az huchal likro b'shem Hashem. But what does the word huchal mean? It's not lahatchil, to start. Huchal comes from the Lashon, Rashi tells us, chulin, chol, like kodesh and chol. Chol is not kodesh, it's secular, it's mundane. The Medrash Rambam explains, explaining how Avodah Zarah began, that Enosh had great powers, great spiritual powers, obviously a leader of people, but he began to profane the name of Hashem. He called the name of Hashem to physical objects like the sun and the moon, to natural forces. He began to call in Hashem's name, but call those objects Hashem. And Rambam goes from here and explains the entire evolution of idol worship. It's just for a moment, the mashal for worshiping nature is like this. Why was it such a intellectually compelling or emotionally compelling drive? The whole world was overcome with it for thousands of years. They understood there was Hashem. They always understood there was Hashem. But when we go into a jewelry store, let's say, there's a beautiful necklace there and it costs $10,000. So we say to the clerk, how much is it? $10,000. So you say to the clerk, I'll give you $1,000. Sell it to me for $5,000, and I'll give you $1,000. So the clerk says, I can't, it's not mine, the boss owns this, I can't give it to you for $5,000. But the person says, you can, you're right here, it's in your hands, give it to me, I'll give you a gift. In other words, nature worship is relating to the direct source of the heat or the rain, hoping to please that source and forgetting about who that source is indebted to and it was being controlled by. They understood there was Hashem, but they felt there was a more direct and efficient way to work directly with the powers, and they would offer them things in order to that they would release their gifts to them. So Rambam explains that this is how it began, and they said at first they said, if Hashem is all-powerful, and yet he's created these servants, these emissaries, these middlemen, obviously, he wants these middlemen to relate to us directly. He's given them a tremendous amount of power and authority, perhaps even autonomy. This was the mistake. So let us relate to them directly as a way of showing our honor to God. If God has given them honor, so we should, of course, honor them too. And they got mixed up in how much autonomy these actual forces have and how much they need to relate to the forces. And don't forget, you know, if we would hear today that not Bush, but the vice president would be coming through town, would we all take the position of, well, who cares, he's the vice president, and like, no motorcade, no, you know, security, across the street in front of his car? Of course not. If honoring the vice president is a form of honoring the president, it shows dignity or honor of the office of president. So all of these ideas came together and eventually evolved into full-blown nature worship. But here's Enosh. And he could have called B'Shem Hashem, but he made it Chulin. Immediately after, we see nothing yet from Cain, Hevel, Shait. These are the toldos of Shemayim Va'aretz. We haven't found anything. Now the Torah begins. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Now let's look at the toldot of Adam. How is the word written? Which one is chaser? Keep that in mind. If you have a paper, write that down. The second vav is chaser. Eila and va'ela. Zeh Sefer Toldos. That's one because it's a good question. I didn't get into the eila and the va'ela. Maybe at the end we'll mention it and the zeh. But here is Toldot Adam, and it's missing the second Vav. This begins in Perek He, and it goes all the way down to Perek Chafdal, Pasuk Chafdalid, where there is not a break in the pattern. However, the Torah mentions a little interesting piece of information about one of the descendants called Chanoch. This is not the same Chanoch, by the way. We have two Chanochs, as you know. One was Cain's son, and this is the other Chanoch. This Chanoch was in the seventh generation from Adam, as Moshe was in the seventh generation from Avraham, as David was the seventh of Yishai's children. There's a special Kedusha sometimes attached to that person. And here there's a Chanoch, who is not obviously Chanoch's son, and not obviously Cain's son. And this Chanoch walked with Elohim. He was a very righteous man. He was a great tzaddik. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him. Ve'einenu ki lakach osa Elohim. God took him away. He was never able to be one of those people that would be even be considered to be Korei B'Shem Hashem on a large scale. And the Mefarshim explained why Hashem took him away. But this doesn't break the pattern. It's just an interesting point to notice. And then we keep going with Mishuselach and all the other children until you get to Pasuk Lamed Beis, the end of the Perek. You have Noah, and he has three children. He names one of them Shem, Ham, and Yafet. Now, Perek Vav stops here. This is the last pasuk in the genealogy tree here, the one about Shem, Ham, and Yafet. And then the Torah stops and tells you a strange information about what was going on in the world at this time. Perek Vav, the first few pesukim, tell us that man began to populate and to spread out in the world, and they gave birth to daughters. And then there were some creatures called Bnei HaElohim, and they saw the Benot HaAdam, the daughters of man, and they saw that they were good, and they took them for wives. It's a strange psukim. And then we learn that as soon as this happened, Hashem said, that's it. My spirit can no longer rest among man because he is flesh, and his days are 120. And then the Torah tells us there were Nephilim, some great, powerful people called Nephilim, and they were on the earth. They were, and these Nephilim were there when the sons of the Elohim would marry the Benot HaAdam. They were mighty men, men of Anshei Hashem. Hashem. Now, Hashem could mean shame, but what could it also mean? Like Shmama, destruction. And these were the men that caused the destruction of the world. Now, who were these people? Just for a moment, we mentioned this in passing last week. It's unclear who these Bnei Elohim were, and Benot HaAdam, and Nephilim. Strange creatures that were very powerful, physically, maybe spiritually. They were all destroyed in the Mabul. We mentioned last week a strange point. Let me just bring it up one more time. Rambam mentions, okay, that going back to Pasuk page 22, Perek Dalet Pasuk Chafei, after Cain and Hevel and Cain's children, Vayeda Adam Od et Ishto, Vatelet Ben Adam once again was with Chava, and they gave birth to a child. They called his name Shait. Right? They named this boy Shait. Tells us that, I quoted the wrong pasuk here. Okay, it's Pasuk Perek He, Pasuk Gimel. Vayechi Adam Shloshim Umeyat Shana. He lived 130 years. Vayolid, and he gave birth, Bidmuto Kitsalmo Vayikro Shemo Shait. So Rambam says here, remember what we said last week? He had given birth to other children in the interim, but they were not Bitselem and Dmut. They did not have his image and his likeness, which means probably without a neshama, because that is the Tselem and Dmut of Adam. And then he gave birth to Shait. Now this doesn't include Cain and Hevel. This seems to include other creatures. And we said that there are other evidence that there were creatures without neshamas that were human-like in existence in the world. For example, the Nachash, which stood straight and somehow, some way communicated, had no neshama, was the smartest of all the animals of Chayot HaSada, and then was reduced to some type of belly-crawling thing. We don't know if it's the same Nachash as after the Mabul. My grandfather suggests, being that the Sheshet Yimei Bereshis could be equivalent to millions of years and billions of years, that the prehistoric man, the Neanderthal man, the primitive man, the caveman, whatever you want to call it, that scientists seem to think existed, could very well have been human-like creatures, Homo sapiens, creatures that walked upright without a neshama. This could help explain some very strange midrashim, like the pasuk tells us that Noah went and tried to find a mate with all the species, but couldn't find anyone, so Hashem made him an Ezer Kenegdo. Well, it doesn't seem likely that he was trying with snakes and birds and cats. Seems there might have been human-like creatures, right? Also, the fact that we don't have a nachash today that looks human-like and crawls on its belly doesn't mean much. And this is just a suggestion. As we said, things died in the Mabul. But the fact that Rambam says here that there were other creatures that were not B'Tselem and not B'Dmut. And so this is a strange world, but the people that populated it, and I thought, but this is strictly my own imagination, that perhaps the B'nai Elohim and the B'not HaAdam that were mating together, which is the cause of Hashem destroying the world, perhaps that means those with a neshama, those without a neshama, some strange intermingling, I don't know. But these creatures don't exist. And the only one that survived from the great Giborim, the Medrash tells us, is Og, somehow. This is also a mystery, because how did he survive the Mabul? In any case, these were people that were Anshei Hashem, and they could have led to being Kori B'Shem Hashem, but they created Shemama, total destruction in the world. And here, immediately in Pasukei, Hashem says, no more, I'm going to destroy the world. And then, alongside Hashem's plan to destroy the world, of course, is the plan to save Noach and his family. So, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tet, page 30. Eile Toldot Noach. How is Toldot written? Again, Chaser, the last Vav. The same as Eile Toldot Adam. Okay. Eile Toldot Noach. This is the story, the generations of Noach, Shem, Ham, and Yefet. And here goes the entire parsha now. We skip to chapter 9. The story of how they were saved when the entire world was restored to the state it was in on the second day of the Bria, after the second day of creation, where everything was water, before Hashem made a rakia between the water. The deepest part of the ocean is 30,000 feet deep, equivalent to approximately 6 miles. The highest mountain on earth is 30,000 feet high, which is approximately 6 miles. The water of the Mabul reached to the top of the highest mountain. So there were 12, Vav and Vav, by the way, but that's miles, it doesn't really count. There was an equal distance, okay, from the depths of the ocean to the water that was above the highest mountains. The world was completely consumed in water, as it was on the second day of the Bria. In other words, the world was being reborn as a fetus is born out of water. Everything is being restored to that. And we learn the story of this all through the parasha of Noach until you get to the ninth perek, perek tet, pasuk chav vav, the 26th pasuk. Here Noach realizes that there are distinctions between his children, Ham and Yefet, and Shem. So he tells Ham that Aror Kanan, is the child Kanan, is cursed, and he tells Yefet to stick with Shem. And then he says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem. Blessed is Yudke Vavke, the God of Shem, and of course we have the name Shem. So now we see from Shem somebody should come who will be Korei B'Shem Hashem. Immediately, Perek Yud, we learn Eile Toldot B'nei Noach. Well, let's find him. Let's find someone from the children of Noach How is Toldot written? One vav in the beginning, same pattern, chaser vav in the end. So you start going through Shem, Cham, and Yefet. First, B'nei Yefet. Just a few psukim on B'nei Yefet. Page 46, starting with Pasuk Vav, B'nei Cham. We've learned all about the children of Cham. This leads us all the way to Pasuk Chaf, the 20th Pasuk. And these are the children of Cham. And then we move into the children of Shem. Nothing, we never stop here. There's no incident to discuss in Yefet's children and Cham's children. And now L'Shem Yulad Gamhu. Now Shem also gives birth. And that begins in Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And it goes until Pasuk Lamed Beis. These are the children of Shem. So we've heard about Shem, Cham, and Yefet. Now the Torah stops. There's an incident to talk about. Something happened. Something that could have been the beginning of what we're looking for. Humanity realizing their purpose here. This is after the Mabul. Realizing that Hashem destroyed the world. The world was reborn. And here it is the job of humanity to connect once again the Ruchni to the Gashmi. Express in the physical world all that is true. To do something that would be Korei B'Shem Hashem. And you have the story of Migdal Bavel. They have a great plan. And the plan is described in Perek, in Pasuk Dalet. Vayomru, Hava, Nivne Lanu Ir. Let us build for ourselves a city. Umigdal, and a tower. Varosho Bashamayim, with its head. The height of the tower will reach all the way to the heavens. What will they use this tower for? To reach and search up for God? Stop. This is the Torah's way of describing what is going on and societally in civilizations. What's happening here, the Torah tells us, is they learned how to make bricks. Once, if you look in the Pasukim earlier, they learned how to make bricks. Scientific development, technological development. As soon as they felt that they could build on this level and develop scientifically, they felt, as many do in the field of science and those watching science discover so many things and solve so many problems, science will answer our questions. Science will protect us. Science will feed us, keep us healthy. Science will find the answers to our questions. This is really what's going on here, the development of beginning of technology of science after the Mabul. And they say, let's build a city with a great tower, a great monument here, and what will we do with this? What are the next words? Pasuk Dalet. Benase Lanu Shem. Let us make a name for ourselves, humanity, in place of God, substituting for God. Let us make ourselves a name. This would not be tolerated. There was no calling out B'Shem Hashem. It was calling out in the name of man. This is not so different. We live with this phenomenon here today. And, of course, this wasn't to be tolerated. Hashem dispersed them. Look in Pasuk Yud. We start again. Ele Toldot Shem. Maybe we'll find someone now from Shem's children. How is Toldot written? Same way. First Vav is intact. Second Vav is Chaser. Ele Toldot Shem. Until Pasuk 27, and right in the middle of the list of Eile Toldot, you have a new list, the Eile Toldot, right in the middle. The Eile Toldot, who's in 27? Terach. We're coming to familiar territory here. Eile Toldot, Terach, again Toldot is written the same way, Vav in the beginning, Chaser in the end, and of course Terach gives birth to Avraham. Now the Eile Toldot stops, and we hear a little bit of a story. The story begins at the end of Parshat Noah, how Terach and Avraham and Lot, Ben Haran, and Sarai all left Ur-Kasdim to go to Eretz Canaan. Terach went with Avraham in the beginning. They left Ur-Kasdim and they tried to get to Canaan before we ever hear of Hashem speaking to Avraham. Terach and Avraham, they all picked up and left, heading to Canaan. They ended up in Haran, and they settled there for 5 years. There, Terach died. There is where Hashem spoke to Avraham and told him to go on to Lech Lecha. Now, Avram was 70 when he first left Ur Kasdim, and 75 when he left Haran. So the Torah has stopped now the Eilat Toldot because we have someone to focus on. And Lech Lecha starts, Perek Yud Beis, and we move on to Pasuk Ches, and in Pasuk Ches we find the words we've been waiting for. Look at Perek Ches. Pasuk Ches. Vayiven Sham Mizbeach LaHashem Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. He began to call out in the name of Hashem. Finally, we have somebody. The process is beginning. The process is beginning. We've made the first step. Hashem has waited for 2,000 years, waiting to find, searching through the generations, each and every generation, every time searching for someone. And here we find an opportunity. Something has begun, but this is just the beginning of our story. This isn't the end. Avram had two children. Will they succeed in at least continuing Avram's task, Avram's mission? Turn to Perek Chafei. This is many stories about Avraham. The Torah spends a lot of time about Avraham and Sarah because they are the beginning. Perek Chafei Pasuk Yud Aleph, 25, Pasuk 11, page 122. This is Avraham's death. After Avram's death, we need to know what will come beyond that. So Perek, Pasuk 11 on page 122 tells us, Vayhi achrei mot Avraham, vayivarech Elokim et Yitzchak beno, vayeshev Yitzchak in be'er l'chairo, Hashem blessed Yitzchak. Now, he has two children, Yishmael and Yitzchak. We have to search among them for the next link in the chain. Look at the next Pasuk, Pasuk Yudbeis, Eile toldot Yishmael. Both Vavs are missing. Now, I'll just give you a hint. Vav means, and is the letter used always for what purpose? What does Vav itself mean? Chibur, connection. Okay? There's a Vav in the beginning, a Chibur to the what's before you. There's a Vav in the end, a Chibur to what's after you. Yishmael, of all cases in the entire Chumash, has no Vavs at all. Even Esav, we see, has a Vav. Yishmael has no Vavs. And it's strange, because Yishmael himself was a tzaddik. So it's very strange. All right. Eile toldot Yishmael. And this continues till the end of the Parsha of Chayesara. And we go on now in Pasuk Yutet. Eile toldot Yitzchak. Again, look, Vav in the beginning is there, Vav at the end is missing. Eile toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avram holid et Yitzchak, and we learn about Yitzchak's whole life, and of course we spend plenty of time on it because he is the next link in the chain. And notice Perek Chavav, Pasuk Chavhei on page 132. Pasuk Chav Hei tells us regarding Yitzchak, Vayivin Sham Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Yitzchak is Korei B'Shem Hashem too. Okay? Perek Lamed Hei, 35. This is the death of Yitzchak, because although we know about Yitzchak, we have to continue to find who among his offspring will be the next link in the chain. So Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chafches 28, on page 190, this is the death of Yitzchak. He lived 180 years. Vayigva Yitzchak vayamat, and he died. Vayikbaru oto Esav v'Yakov banav. Esav and Yaakov both buried him. Next, we have to look in Yitzchak's children. What does the Torah start doing? Ve'ele toldot Esav. How is toldot written? Chaser in the beginning and Vav Mole in the end. Okay, with the Vav in the end. This is a break in the pattern. Eile toldot Esav hu Edom. And we spend Lamed Vav, the entire Perek is spent on the generations, the toldot of Edom, of Esav. It's not until Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Aleph and Beth, Parshat Vayeshev, page 198, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Megurei Aviv be'eretz Canaan, he dwelled in his father's land. The Eile Toldot Yaakov. These are the generations of Yaakov. How is Toldot written? Same as Esav. The same as Esav, with a vav at the end and not in the beginning. Now, who is the essential told of Yaakov? Yosef. We know this is true. He was the Bechor of Rachel. And you know the famous Medrash that as soon as Yosef was born, Yaakov said to Lavan, I want to leave. And the Medrash says that he understood that Yosef was his extension. And Yosef would be able to overwhelm Esav, because Esav and Yaakov were always going to be in competition. And the Medrash says, Beit Yaakov, right? Yaakov is Esh, and Esav is Kash, straw, fire and straw, but they're not in touch with each other. One is here and one is here. How does the fire destroy the straw? So a spark, lahava, a spark shoots off the fire and destroys the straw. That's Yosef. According to our tradition, our machshava, Yosef has the koach of Yaakov to destroy Esav. And it is, of course, Yosef and really Rachel's children, Binyamin, and Yosef that always stand against Esav and Amalek. It's Yeshua ben Nun who fights Amalek. It's Mordechai who fights Haman. It's Shaul that fights Agag. It's always Bnei Rachel. Specifically, though, Yosef had the kochot of Yaakov. And Yaakov sees Yosef as a direct extension, which led to his treating him differently. His kochot were different. It's a whole other story, as we know. And he is the essential tolda of Yaakov regarding Esav. Okay? And the ultimate success of the Jewish people, the victory of the Jewish people against their primary enemy, who is their brother, who gave up what he could have had, what he could have shared with us, and therefore forever after hates us. And this is the toldot of Yaakov. You never again see in the rest of Sefer Bereishis Eile toldot, because once we find Yaakov, Yosef, and the rest of the Shvatim, we have found a family. Not only, it is different than Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham had two children, one went this way and one went that. Yitzchak had two children. But finally, by Yaakov, we have what we, Chazal call us mitaso shlema, his bed, so to speak, what his offspring, what he bore in this world is shalem, complete. Everybody is now Klal Yisrael. We have a rule starting with the children of Yaakov, Yisrael afilu shechata Yisraelhu. That's not the case of Yishmael and Esav. Yisrael, a b'nei Yisrael, child of Yisrael, even if they sin, is a Yisrael. From now on, this family does not lose its distinction. They are B'nai Yisrael. And the next time you hear any phrase similar to Eile Toldot is in Perek Mem Vav 46. But something has changed. We no longer say Eile Toldot because we're not searching anymore. Pasuk Ches in Perek 40, page 258. The Eile Shemot B'nei Yisrael. These are the names of the children of Yisrael. We have a family. We have the names. We found them. We found a family, and we have the names of the people here. No more searching. However, the truth is, in Sefer Shemot, and in Bamidbar, actually, Shemot, we reiterate this. Eile Shemot B'nei Yisrael. Habar Mitzrayma. But in Bamidbar and in Megillat Rut, two other times that the Torah reverts back to a search and uses the phrase Eile Toldot. One in Bamidbar, Eile Toldot Aaron v'Moshe. Who are we searching for? Who are we searching for? Eile Toldot Aaron v'Moshe. We have a nation, but a nation needs leaders. Who are we searching for? A Kohen. Eile Toldot Aaron v'Moshe. That's in Midbar. And in Megillat Rut, the last of all, Eile Toldot Paretz. Who are we searching for? A king. Peretz is the father of David, Melech Yisrael of Mashiach. Eile Toldot Peretz is written Mali. It has two vavs. So, the only two that are written with two vavs are which ones? The first. Eile Toldot Hashamayim Ba'aretz and Eile Toldot Peretz, who is the progenitor of Mashiach, which tells us what? That there is a perfection in the beginning. Things will come full circle. A perfection in the end. From Eile Toldot Shamayim Ba'aretz and Eile Toldot Peretz. However, we'll take it further. The Medrash says that the Vav is missing in everyone between Eile Toldot Shamayim Ba'aretz and Eile Toldot Peretz is missing a Vav. Either a first Vav or a last Vav, which we'll talk about. But the reason that every single one has to be chaser somewhere, the Medrash tells us, is because six things were lost to Adam when he sinned. When we say Adam, we mean mankind, Isha and Isha. And these six attributes will be restored in the Yemot HaMashiach. The Medrash tells us that these six things are the following. Here, the six things that were taken away from Adam were, and this comes from Bereishis Rabba, Keneged Vav Devarim Shenitlu MeAdam HaRishon VeElohein. These are the six changes that took place into mankind. Zivo, his radiance of his face. The Or Panav, which he had in the beginning, which was a result of the Shechina, the truth that dwelled, the relationship to Kedusha. This was removed. We don't have today human beings that shine like the sun with a light of Kedusha, of Shechina on their face. We do have some people among us who have what we call a Hadrat Panim, a certain illumination to their face. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to achieve that radiance, and it was so overpowering that what did they have to do? He had to wear a veil. Moshe walked around in a veil because nobody could accept the eyes. Our eyes were not capable of receiving that type of kedusha. That was lost to man. Secondly, his lifespan, his eternal life. That misa, death, is part of our existence. This is not meant to be, which is why no matter how many people die, and the fact that everybody dies, we never get used to it. You would think we would get used to it. It's everyone who ever lived will die or died. Or we can't. It wasn't natural. Vekomato is stature, his height. Human beings used to have a much greater stature, much taller, much larger. We were not among the smaller of the creatures on earth. Pri ha'aretz uperot ha'ilon. The fruits and the vegetables, the produce of the land were greatly diminished. However, we know that Eretz Yisrael was producing oversized, crazy peirot that had a certain level of that kedusha left. This will be restored. And the ma'orot, the lights. Remember the story about the sun and the moon? And we spoke about how the moon, this is a mashal, telling us that the moon, which is associated really with the Or HaShechina. Remember the Or of the 6 days of creation? Chazal call Or Shevat HaYamim, really the 7 days. The Or that Hashem hid for tzaddikim for the future. Not the sun and the moon. The Or of the first day, the Vayihi Or, that no longer radiates in this world. That's the Or of the Shechina. That's associated with the moon, when the moon was diminished. That's the Mashal. Now we have the Or of the Shemesh. The physical world is very clear to us, but the light of Ruchnius is not so clear. That's associated with the diminution of the moon. That will be restored also. So the first Eile Toldos is complete. The last with Peretz is complete. In between it must be Chaser, somehow, some way, because man is Chaser. We are Chaser. We are missing our basic attributes. It is the Jewish people that have the ability to restore everything. Hashem has searched and waited until He found us, and this is what Medrash means when Chazal tell us shalosh mitziyot matza Kadosh Baruch Hu. Three valuable finds did Hashem find. What do you mean Hashem found? And I think when you read through these Ela Toldot lists, you begin to see that we're looking for something, and when we find it, it's considered a celebration. Hashem found three valuable gifts in his search: Avraham, David, and Yisrael. And regarding each three of these, there is a phrase that relates to finding. For example, we say in davening, "Umatzata et levavo neman lefanecha." We're going to, right before Az Yashir. You found Avraham, and you found his heart trustworthy, faithful before you. Then we say in Tehillim, "Matzati David Avdi." I found my servant David. And regarding Klal Yisrael and Hosea, the pasuk says, "Ka'anavim b'midbar," like grapes growing in a desert, "Matzati Yisrael." I found Bnei Yisrael. We say like a needle in a haystack, like grapes in a desert, which is unlikely. I found Yisrael. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was searching and searching and searching until he finds Klal Yisrael. Slowly, it's a process. And now, if Hashem waited this long, spent thousands of years waiting for Klal Yisrael to emerge, the likelihood that after waiting so long for Klal Yisrael, preserving Klal Yisrael through all the years, through thick and thin, through good and bad, the likelihood that Hashem will abandon us now is very, very low. Okay? It's not likely that we've come this far and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, never came down into the world and compelled anyone until Har Sinai, when we voluntarily asked for that experience. We came to Har Sinai voluntarily. Many didn't come. Whoever came was a total volunteer. We asked for Hashem to give us the Torah. We asked, we accepted the offer. Hashem never compelled anyone. It's all grassroots initiative from us. And Hashem waited for this to evolve, for this to happen. We rose to the challenge slowly, slowly developed a nation. Hashem gave us a special bris, a special promise to preserve us because of that. Kept us going through these generations. If it would all end now, then everything that ever happened in all of history would be meaningless and there would have been no point to the creation of the world. We must exist into the future. We must achieve our goal of Mashiach and the future, Allah Asid Lavo, and Tchiyat HaMeisim, because if we don't achieve the future, then the entire past is meaningless. We might as well never have started. So we know that Hashem himself is, in a sense, bound or compelled to see this thing through till the end. And therefore, if Hashem has confidence in us and has waited for us and waits and waits and waits and has found us and waits for us in our own initiative, each person, each community, each as a nation, it's the job is in our hands. Remember the burning building. We put out the fire. We do this. Hashem has trust that we can do this. And this expresses itself in every mitzvah we do, every Kiddush Hashem we make, in the little things, the very little things, and the big things too. The Torah we learn, the Torah we convey, all the little things, all the big things. Hashem trusts us to be able to fulfill the very purpose of creation. And the Gemara in Yevamos says, and unless you understand how the Gemara writes, it sounds very chauvinistic and terrible. It says, "Atem Yisrael kruyim Adam." You, Israel, are called Adam. "Ve'ein ovdei kachavim kruyim Adam." And those that worship the stars are not called Adam. Now, this doesn't mean you are human and no one else is human. What it means is, you, Yisrael, have taken upon yourself the role of Adam. You are the people that I found, that I waited for, that can, that I trust, that will take upon yourselves the role of Adam. Way back in the beginning, that was lost with the two vavs, with what should have been perfect. And you took upon yourselves this role, and none of the other nations took upon themselves this role. Proof, all the lists we just went through, and their generations, and their descendants. No one did this besides you. So you are Adam. And eventually, you will bring the world back to the very purpose, full circle, to where why it was created. Destiny, we will reach our goal. We, the Jewish people, we are the drivers that will bring the world there. And at that future time, we will have the satisfaction of seeing everything that we went through in perspective. We will have the nechama for all the things we went through. And we will be blessed with the truth and clarity and the shalom, the shlemus of... Well, but we didn't end. We have one last point. The vavs. I'm not sure. I think that all the vavs in the beginning indicate that though there was a chibur to the previous dor, to the generation, like even Avraham did not evolve in a vacuum. As soon as he started asking questions, he was directed to the yeshiva of Shem and Aver. Now, he was greater than them because he spread everything. But there was always someone. So all of these had a chibur to the past. But the question is, could they pass it on to the future? And we see up until Yaakov and Esav, each of the personalities could not pass it on entirely to the future. Avram had Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esav. So the chibur to the future is lacking. However, Yaakov and Esav, what they pass on to their descendants is completely in line with what they tried to. In other words, all of Yaakov's descendants are Yisrael. Even if they sin, even if they convert, they are Yisrael. They can never be lost. Esav's descendants, Edom, somehow are all in the track of Edom. I'm not quite sure if this fits perfectly. Yishmael has nothing. It's very, very spooky. Okay, because you think that Esav is a greater enemy to us than Yishmael. But at the other hand, even Rambam tells us in the end of days, everybody talks about it's going to be Yishmael. And Yishmael was a tzaddik. And yet there's no chibur, not to the past and not to the future. It's a strange thing. Not quite sure. If you have a better answer on the Vavs, you can come back and tell me. Otherwise, everyone have a wonderful week.